Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive.
Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. We're in week two of our Rock the Body Challenge. So glad to be with all of you. How is it going? Oh, my goodness. I hope you are doing well and that you are getting encouraged and getting challenged as you move through the different steps here. So hopefully you got your photo in front of your church into us from last week, because that was last week's little task for you. And we will obviously be waiting to hear about your small group info as you give that to us for this week. So first of all, let me remind you that there are prizes for this challenge. So we hope that you have already signed up. If you haven't, you can sign up anytime during the challenge, folks. I mean, this isn't like you have to do one thing one week and then the next thing next week. You know, some of you may have two or three of these things already under your belt. So just make sure that you go to boundless.org/rockthebody and sign up so that you are actually in our tally and you can officially join, and you'll get a fun download as a result of that. You'll be able to take a survey, and we want to make sure we get your info encapsulated in all that. So very cool. Also, continue providing us feedback through the blog, through hashtag RockTheBody2013, and through our call-in line, 866-687-8686. So do it. All right. Here we go. This week's show, our inbox, we actually have a someone is basically doing a small group with some college students and are looking for ideas of what they might be able to study. So this is going to be one of our focus folks who is very passionate about something that we have to offer, and she's going to go ahead and share that with us. Then for our culture segment, Randy Pope, he's pastor of Perimeter Church out in Atlanta, is here to discuss principles from his book, Insourcing, which is really maximizing the one-on-one, life-on-life aspect within a church. So hardcore discipleship, he is all about it, and it has transformed his very large church on the perimeter of Atlanta. And so if you think you go to a big church and you can't make the big church small, think again, because they're doing it at Perimeter. So Randy Pope with Insourcing is here. And here we are for our round table with a fun gaggle of folks. Welcome to Anthony, Jake, and Lindsay. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Howdy.
Hola.
Hello. All right. Well, we're talking about small groups this week. And it's funny because last week I thought it was pretty hilarious in the culture segment. Mark Dever, who we kind of set up, is like, okay, talk to us about the importance of the church. And he's a big time pastor. And he's like, yeah, well, one thing I can say is small groups, I don't trust those as far as you can throw them. So then he had to go, and I'm like, oh, really? Because that's like week two of our challenge. So then he went on to explain that, you know, a lot of people find it easy to, quote, join a small group, and then it's just super like eating cookies and talking about your week, okay? So that's hopefully not the kind of small group that y'all are going to get involved in during the course of this challenge. But there are many different ways to do small group. We also don't want you to be intimidated by that. So we're going to we have assembled this group of folks to talk about their own experiences with small groups, and hopefully we can give you a good vision for how it can be done well. So the first thing I want to ask you guys is, as you think of what it means to be in a small group, or if you call it a Bible study or whatever you call this, making the big church small, what do you think about it? Like, for you, what is that? Either practically in your life right now, or maybe, you know, you had to have a little perspective shift as to what that actually meant in your own life. But what is that to you, functionally speaking?
Well, for me, it definitely did take a shift in my mentality once I, you know, became a young adult, you know, officially back in and exited high school and went into college for the first time. You know, it was so easy. In high school, you know, when you've got parents that help you plan and get you to the right place and have great recommendations and all that. But once I got to college, it was easy to get involved with, like you mentioned, those small groups that are about cookies and avoid the ones where you really got deep. Like, you know, in high school, I was blessed to have a group where we were able to get really deep.
And describe that a little bit. What does it mean to get
to deep? Get really deep? Yeah,
because I think some people are just like, what?
Right, exactly. You know, it was a group of us. You know, it was a co-ed, but it was also gender-based. So we would pray together as a group. We would go over a general lesson plan, but then we would split off, you know, male and female. And And it was an opportunity. We had great leaders who would really dive into what are you struggling with, you know, as young men, really tackling the issue of lust and sexuality and what that looks like, and not shying away from those issues by always going to play dodgeball or doing, you know, scavenger hunts, things like that. You know, we would sit in a room forced into enclosed spaces and really just stare each other down on those issues.
Sign me up. All these guys are like, sign me up for that, sitting in an enclosed room.
Oh, I know. It was so awkward at first. But, you know, the bonds that were formed when you were forced to talk about those issues together. I mean, a lot of those friends are still some of my closest friends today.
Yeah.
I think for me, I was fortunate enough to go to a Christian college that, I mean, we joked how often they mentioned the word community. And then that was just, if you went to that college, you learned about what it was to be in community, because they just fostered an environment where you learned how to really care about people at the heart level, you know, asking questions about spiritual growth and what's, you know, what's really on your heart, what's on your mind, what are you struggling with these days? And I think learning that vulnerability that comes with small groups has been invaluable going forth. And I'm so thankful that I had that experience in college, because it kind of taught me how to do small groups, you know, not just ask the easy questions, but ask the hard questions and follow up on things and be intentional. And I think those are just really important when it comes to the idea of small groups. Mm.
Yeah, for me, small groups are like a family gathering that is very intentional and centered around worshiping Jesus. So, I do very much appreciate sharing those regular aspects of life, like, you know, the cookies or, you know, talking about
nothing wrong with cookies.
The previous week. Yeah, cookies are actually a very important part of small group worship, essential. But yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the commonplace stuff that you leave out that makes it important. It's what just they have that intentionality, that intimacy, that pursuit of each other, and the accountability and the shared experience of studying scripture and going deep on things of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. And you said family. I mean, you're married and have kids and stuff, so you do it kind of in a family model?
No. By family, I mean like the family of God.
Oh, so, okay.
I mean, you know, scripture, like we are brothers and sisters, father, and so on. So, like, to me, like if I'm ever gathering with other Christians, that's family time in a very, very real sense.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, I think a lot of times, and we talked about this a little bit last week, of how sometimes churches, you know, we say, oh, well, for young adults, especially if you're a single young adult, there's not all of something, you know, for you specifically in the church. But do you see small groups as a way of, you know, like Lindsay, you alluded to, you know, maybe you need to be in a women's Bible study where there is different generations there, or you need to be, you know, find a mentoring kind of relationship where you can be. How can you best do that? Like, what's the best experience you've had with that in a small group where you really felt you were able to go deep in life on life? What did that look like?
I think it's always probably different than you expect it to be. Mm-hmm. I think as a, you know, young adult, I'm always like, oh, if I join a young adult ministry, then that will, you know, help me meet guys that are single. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people have that mentality when it comes to church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of times it's been interaction with somebody that is kind of outside the norm, and it ends up being that mentor relationship, and you're like, oh, I'm going to meet with this lady, you know, every other week, and we're going to read through something together. Or it's going to be joining a Bible study where you're like, well, maybe these aren't the people that I would really expect to learn a lot from. But then as you continue on, you're like, oh, this is exactly where God wants me to be. So I think with small groups, it's keeping an open mind to where God is leading you, not necessarily this is what I want. Because I think the outcome is going to be God's outcome if you let it be up to Him about where He leads you. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's hard. But, you know, you talk about, you know, what's your purpose in going to a small group? Is it to meet, you know, someone of the opposite sex, you know, find a relationship? You know, I've got friends and even family members who will talk about their frustration to find a good Bible study, but with their frustration to find a good Bible study isn't really about the Bible study itself. Right. It's about, I've already mined this one for prospective, you know, relationship candidates. Mm-hmm. And realizing that, you know, it does come in different shapes and sizes. For me, when I went off to college, we talk about being intentional. I got involved with a big group, but and we did just kind of the surface stuff. And mm-hmm. But where I went wrong and what ended up hurting me for a little while is that I didn't find that group like I had in high school where I could go deep. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, you know, to the Colorado Springs area, I wanted to get back with those guys and be like, we're going to do it exactly this way, like we used to do it. Mm. And I found that as we gotten older, we were doing school, we were doing work, our schedules just didn't mesh to do this weekly thing. So what it ended up looking like for me was kind of doing once a month get-togethers and sometimes, and those were just oftentimes, yeah, just surface stuff, but maintaining those relationships so that when I got one-on-one time with those guys, you know, we could go deep. You know, it wasn't like we were so disconnected mm-hmm. that every time we got together, it was like, so what's new with you? It was like we could go deep. Right. And then, like you said, where it became different for me was I ended up, just to get healthier, going running with my dad once a week. Hmm. And that was originally just to go to stay healthy, to stay active. But that ended up being so wonderful spiritually mm-hmm. where we would often end up walking half the time mm-hmm. and just talking about what was going on in mm-hmm. our lives and the world. And so it became, you know, different than I expected, but it allowed me that opportunity to connect, mm-hmm. but also to go deep with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like demographically and, you know, and whatnot, small groups can be based around 1,000 different organizations, like you know, men, women, about books, about the scripture, about shared common interest, about shared stage of life, and all these things. And I don't think there's probably any one that's just the best, or like mm-hmm. you know, any stock piece of advice that would say you should go to this type of small group. The most important part that should be, you know, there regardless is relationship, intimacy, being drawn closer to Jesus as a result. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. I very much agree that it's a matter of being like led by God in your stage of life to where He wants you to be.
Yeah.
And I think so many times people feel the pressure that they say, I have to be a part of a small group of my church. Mm-hmm. And I think church small groups are wonderful, but I think a lot of times there's sometimes in diversity, if you get in a small group with people that go to different churches mm-hmm. and are in different life stages, they are able to speak into your life sometimes in miraculous ways because they're looking from things a little bit differently. And they, when you bounce ideas off of them, they really do sharpen you because you're like, oh, this isn't what I heard necessarily on Sunday. Or, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I think right. when we think about the global church and the body of Christ, like it doesn't have to be join a small group from your church. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that that's bad, but you mm-hmm. know, find a group of believers and start a Bible study with them, and who cares if they don't go to your church, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah,
don't feel
yeah.
restricted by
right.
that.
Right. Well, and there's kind of, I like the model. I know Beth Moore talks about this a lot, and there are different people that talk about this, about the different concentric circles of how Jesus, you know, he had the 500 and then he had the 12 and then he had his 3 and then he had his relationship with the Father, and how mm. you can't, not everyone can be everything to you, you know, you're not going to be sharing all of your business with like every person that's in your life or every person that's in your quote Bible study or whatever. So, I mean, to keep that in mind is important as well. Mm. Okay, now help people, because there are a lot of people here that are just intimidated about the thought of how do I even get into a small group? So, I mean, you know, I've been in churches where it's like, sign up for small groups and you pick a night that works for you and then you are assigned your small group and you're like, I don't like any of these people, you know, and that's kind of awkward. Or else you feel like you're obligated to like start a small group if you want to handpick your people. Mm-hmm. And some people feel like, ah, that's overwhelming. What has worked? What have you seen work for you as far as like, how do you really find that core group and make it, you know, make it happen?
Mm. I think something is, if you are already part of a small group or a Bible study that you feel like you could add one or two people to it and not hurt the workings of it, invite somebody. Mm-hmm. I think a personal invite to a group will help out more than, you know, just a sign-up sheet. Because if this person that's looking for a small group knows at least one person in a group that will be more than likely to go, mm-hmm. and being invited will help out. But I think, just when it comes to small group, like sometimes you just have to sign up and do it. I mean, if there's a topic that comes up that the church is offering a small group on, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, I don't really know anybody, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and be like, okay, this might be awkward, but yeah. I'm going to go
well,
ahead and try.
Knowing that you probably, you're not going to connect with all 8 people for the next 10 years, but maybe you'll find that one or two, mm-hmm. you know, yeah.
I think there's basically like 2 sort of general categories of ways to get into a group, and one is organic and one is inorganic, and they're varying, you know, degrees. So inorganic can work and be great. Like, you know, there's a list of groups and I just go to one and see who I meet. Mm-hmm. That could be an awesome way of meeting people. That's how I got into my first small group in college, and it was an amazing experience. I still have good friends from that. And then organically, you know, like I'm doing life with people, our paths align, we have similar hearts, we want to pursue similar ideas or studies or whatever, and so we just get together and do life together, you know, in that intentional way. So I mean, like within that spectrum, there's a thousand different ways, and if you're having static, if you're having trouble in getting into a small group, it does require kind of putting yourself out there, you know, putting up with the awkwardness of just the inorganic aspect and just going for it. And, you know, I'm sure God has people out there that he wants you to gather with and worship with and study with. And yeah, so just trust him and don't be afraid.
And one of the ways, you know, that I've seen that's kind of inorganic and organic in the same vein, you can talk about those different paths we can get to, is sometimes just going to something that's maybe a little bit larger than a small group. Doing, you know, our church does a men's breakfast. And, you know, I decided when they started doing it last year, I was like, I'm going to go help set up, you know, and cook. And, you know, by doing that, I didn't know anybody else that was cooking, but I've, you know, developed relationships just by we share a common interest in food and you know, which we all do, right?
Food, theme, food and small groups are important.
Exactly. You know, we've got an excellent chef. And, but, you know, yeah, being willing to take that initiative, like you said, when you're in a static situation. And sometimes that is signing up on the, you know, blank sheet of paper. And sometimes that's getting up early on a Saturday morning when you're tired, and, you know, going to a new situation and finding those common interests.
I think if we just want to dispel the myth that trying to get into a small group is going to cost you nothing, that's not true. It's gonna take time, it's gonna take effort, it's gonna take vulnerability to really get those deep relationships that will help feed your heart and feed your spiritual life. I think again, so many times we're like, well, I don't want to gamble, I don't want to take any risk, but that's just not necessarily what God's called us to do, you know, when it comes down to it. And I think you have it's okay to be fearful, you know, it's okay to, but what are you going to do about that? Are you going to just let that rule, or are you going to go ahead and take a chance and start a conversation with somebody or go to something that will help, you know, that 5 years down the road, you're going to be like, I'm so, so thankful I did that. It's worth the risk.
Yeah. So what would you guys say, because I think of a couple small groups I've been in the past. I think that's a good point, Lindsay, because there are sometimes where it's like, you know, you'll sign up for something and then you realize, wow, okay, yeah, no, I probably wouldn't have picked these people. But there are totally ways that God's going to use that as well. You know, if you just pick only the people that, oh, you're so hilarious and I just love you and I just think you're amazing and whatever, you know, then it's not going to be too long before they're no longer hilarious and amazing, first of all, if you're really being real, you know, it's going to, you're going to bump up against one another. But two, you know, sometimes it just takes those other perspectives or the people that are sometimes more difficult to be in there and be like, okay. Okay, which brings me to my kind of final question for us, and that is, what about your life is different now as a result of having been in this kind of community, in taking the church small, in taking relationships deep, in being intimate with one another in the difficult times? How are you different, more mature, closer to the Lord, all of that?
All right. I think for me, when you hit those really tough spells in your life where you're like, I feel like I'm at rock bottom, you know that you have people that are going to come alongside you and encourage you with God's word and speak truth into your life when necessarily you're not really wanting to hear it. I think that's what small groups does. And I think it's good because so many times people that I've been in small groups with and been in community or Bible study with have been the beacons of light when I've needed it to remind me of sermons that I've heard or scriptures that I've read just to speak into my life. And I think that just doesn't happen overnight, you know, and when you are part of a community, it takes that effort to build those relationships. But when you're in a time of need, those are the relationships that are going to come through for you.
And those, for me, they've helped me gain a better perspective on the Bible, on what Jesus is saying, you know, because I have, you know, you talk about, I have a very narrow personal view often of what I'm reading in the Bible. And I can, you know, whatever, wherever I'm coming from, my past wounds and all that, sometimes I look at certain passages and I'm like, I can only see it this one way. And when I've got people to come around me, you know, to say, you know, you talk about getting that different angle on things, you know. I went through an emotional crisis last fall, and I was reading the scripture, trying to get a breakthrough. And every time I'd read it, I could only see it this one way in my own head. But then when I had people come around me and talk through it, you know, and got it out, you know, gave voice to the problems I was having, you know, they were able to help say, wait a second, let's look at this, you know, in context and see what is going on. Mm-hmm. And so it really does broaden your mind in places where your own wounds potentially or past experiences will try to narrow your perspective on God and life. And I think that can be dangerous. You know, that's when you don't have that ability to go deep with somebody, because then you're not allowing any perspective in.
Mm-hmm. For me, the most important thing that I've gained as a result of gathering in small groups over the last several years is that I have experienced the Father's love in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise. I deeply believe one of the main ways the Father wants to love us is through our brothers and sisters, right? Like all over the Gospels and all over the epistles, really. We're told to encourage each other and to love each other. And we are all very important conduits of God's love and voice to each other. And so gathering, like, you're putting yourself in a position to experience that. And so your salvation isn't just not going to hell. You're saved out of orphanhood into adoption. And you're not adopted as an only child. Mm-hmm. You're adopted into a big family. Therefore, you are not fully experiencing your salvation, like the joy and benefit of it, if you're not gathering with people. And Sunday church is super important for that, and so is like smaller groups of people in that intimacy. Mm-hmm. So if you want to open yourself up to experiencing your Father's love more, gather with, you know, your brothers and sisters and see what he does.
Yeah, I think it's good to remember too, in light of that, that the person that is responsible for our hearts and for moving us along is the Father himself, is God. Well, I think we often go to small groups and we're like, okay, well, I'm going to give these people a chance. Mm. I'm going to give them 4 weeks. And if they don't meet my needs, if I don't like them, if I don't blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the one who's saying I'm going to meet you there is God, you know. And so let everyone else, I think, you know, what Anthony was saying is it's so true. I mean, you are walking with brothers and sisters towards, you know, all measure of things, you know, towards holiness, towards love, towards sanctification, towards, and you're all going to be in different stages. You know, Lindsay said it as well. You know, you may be in a position where this season you are at rock bottom and someone else is going to pull you up. You may do that for someone else, you know, next year. And so I think that's so important to remember as well. So thank you guys so much for weighing in on this and being part of this conversation. Hopefully all of you out there are motivated and encouraged to consider this again. As Lindsay said, it's a risk. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be just you're going to be floating along. If your small group is super easy and a cakewalk, you're probably not in a good small group or you're not investing in it.
Though we should clarify that you should bring cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
There should be cakewalks and cookies. There should be food. I mean, look at the Old Testament when they're weeping over the reading of the law and realizing their own sins. What did the priests tell them to do? They told them to go feast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and if you struggle in that area, Jake is going to, now that he's been in this men's group where they're just cooking all the time, he's going to personally help you.
Pork green chili. God-inspired.
There is no shame in just bringing some pork green chili to your small group. Mm. That's all I got to say. So thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Lisa.